strap yourselves in and get the Shoguns. We are on the road to greatness. I am your host, Kyle Stevenson, aka WhoDatNinja73. And as always, I am joined on this never-ending road trip called life with my best friend, Mr. Joseph Moran, aka Mr. Badbit. Tonight's destination is Ghosts of Tsushima by Sucker Punch Productions. But before we get into that, thank you so much for our Patreon supporters for allowing the show to even be a thing. So thank you so, so very much. Joe, before we get into being a samurai and a ghost, how you doing?
Man, I got a lot of emotions right now. Mm-hmm. One being, so before we start this review, you hear that my mic is extra boomy, but you hear no background noise. And that is because the beautiful, beautiful RTX graphics card that's in here, it has something called all voice, where the mic will only pick up my voice, not the ambient noises behind me, right? Here's the thing. It's great when we record. That means since it's like 105 today, it means that all this background noise is out of here. You can't hear it. But it's hard for me to hear you because the AC is in the back.
Oh, okay. You know what I just realized? I didn't turn off my dehumidifier. But you know what? I'll take it out in post.
Whatever.
It's whatever. Like I said, we're talking about Ghost of Tsushima, the PS4 swan song when it comes to first-party exclusives. Sucker Punch, known for back in the day, Sly Cooper, and then Infamous. I believe they did an N64 game, the Unicycle.
Did they really?
I think it's like Unicycle Racers. Oh, my goodness. N64 might have been their first game.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
And also, real talk for all of our patrons who are listening right now, you will hear, I will interrupt because there is the biggest mosquito in my room. Kyle, we've been talking for like 15 minutes pre-show, and I've been trying to kill it, but it's elusive.
Yeah.
Every time I think I got it, it just zip zap zoops out of the way.
The name of the N64 game was Rocket Robot on Wheels in 1999. Ah. And then they had Sly Cooper, the first one, in 2002, and then Sly 2 in 04, Sly 3 in 05, Infamous in 09, which I think was their big PS3 hit, and it got even better with 2 and the DLC Festival of Blood. Then Infamous Second Son, which was a PS4 launch window exclusive, coming in February, I think, after
PS4. No, March. March. I think it was March. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, the Stellar DLC First Light, and that was in 2014. 6 years later, we finally get a brand new Sucker Punch game that is Ghost of Tsushima, brand new IP. Mm-hmm. What is your history with them and these games before you played Ghosts?
So, guys, this is where you get to take my PlayStation card away from me, all right? As a kid, I've been waiting for this moment. As a child, a young boy, my thing was Ratchet and Clank and Jak and Daxter. Mm-hmm. Sly never came across my radar. Maybe once or twice, but I was thinking at that point I was kind of over the aesthetic, like the cartoonish aesthetic. So for me, I've never messed around with a Sly game. Mm. Not even one of them. I couldn't even tell you how it played. I'm guessing it's a stealth game because you're a thief and you're stealing stuff.
Yeah.
But that's all I got.
Stealth platformer.
Yeah. When it comes to Infamous, I played Infamous 1 for a second, mm-hmm. Infamous 2 for 3 seconds. I remember wanting to get into that game, wanting the collector's edition for the backpack.
Yeah.
But because I worked at GameStop at the time, my dick assistant manager took it from us because like he hid it in the back. So we couldn't find it. And then when it like pennied out that it was his.
Oh man.
Son of a gun. Like he got it for like $60 when it was, I think it like came out for like $120. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless though, I played Second Son when I was getting into the PlayStation realm. So I liked Second Son. I thought it was a good game. I didn't think it was a great game. I thought it was a beautiful looking game. Particle effects really showed what the future of PlayStation could be and would be. But other than that, I'm not going to sit here to tell you I'm a huge Sucker Punch fan, because honestly, I'm not. And when I look at Infamous, I'm just like, I don't get what makes it so special. Real talk. I know the whole like good and bad paragon level type of thing, but it's never been my thing. And I know, but I don't know how deep your love for Sucker Punch goes. So let me know what you, walking into this game, where you hold Sucker Punch.
Oh man, Sucker Punch is easily one of my favorites because of my love for Infamous. Like you, like I played the Sly games. I don't remember too much of them. I'm not saying they're bad in any sort of way. It's just I always think of them in the same level as Jak and Daxter and Ratchet and Clank, and like they all are fused together in my mind. Like with the level layout, how they played, the enemies. It's hard to differentiate between each IP. But when it comes to Infamous, I think the reason why I love that so much is that was, and I could be 100% wrong here, even though I don't think I am, Infamous was like the start of like the superhero game. Like that was like one of the first games that was good. I mean, looking back now, Infamous 1 is not that great. Looking back on it, like trying to play it now.
Before its time.
Before its time, it was fantastic, and how huge and open for a superhero game is. And you can be the villain, you can be the hero. And then obviously Arkham Asylum came out, I think, somewhat after that. I forgot what year that came out. Oh, 06, 07? I could be completely wrong. Anyway, I
think around there, yeah.
But that obviously took what Infamous did and made that look like hot garbage when it came to superhero games in video games. And two, I think it holds a special place in my heart. And Second Son, I really, really dig a lot. It is gorgeous. I love how the neon power feels zooming around that city, running up the walls, and not Fetch. Is it Fetch?
It is Fetch. Okay. They made Fetch a thing. Yeah, yeah.
That's why I got confused. I got the Mean Girls. Like, no, that's the Mean Girls character. Yeah, Fetch, I think, was fantastic. Again, Laura Bailey killing it as Fetch in the Infamous series. And then to see what I expected out of Ghost coming off of Second Son and First Light is to see that visual quality and for movement to feel really, really good and solid and fun to do. And I think for the most part, Ghost hit that. Let's get right into it. What I think is the most impressive thing about Ghost, and that's its beauty. It is so damn beautiful. Every environment, the pops of color, just the animals, the sky, straight up. I'm so happy they did the photo mode with the press of a button. And you don't have to go in the pause menu. It's like instant because I have so many photos I took. It's like, wow, that sunset looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
It is. It's stunning.
This game is the Kodak moment of video games. Mm-hmm. Just hands down, bar none. Like, it is the greatest photo mode in a video game.
Yeah.
You know, just clicking the right D-pad and you're there and having all these different types. Like, Kyle, I put it out there on Twitter. I went back into this game because it's been a few weeks since I think it's been like 2 weeks since I platted the game. And, you know, waiting for you to finish the story, I was just like, okay, let me now, like, dive back in. Let me get reaccustomed to the world so I know what I'm talking about. And literally, no longer than 5 minutes, I'm in photo mode and I'm just looking, like, making sure that, you know, like, Jin looks as badass as possible before I take the shot. Even right now, as I'm fiddling with it, I'm taking a picture right now. This is a really awesome. It's him. Yeah. It's like it's at night. It's fucking awesome. And that's how. It's just one of the most beautiful video games, period.
For sure. And I think it's interesting to see you taking screenshots with Jin in it. I think I exclusively just took landscape photos.
Really? Not even with Jin?
I was so impressed with how the landscape and the world look that I think if percentage-wise, it's probably like 80% landscape, 20% like combat with Jin.
Oh, dude.
So, yeah, it's a...
Nothing gets my rocks off more than, like, an after fight. Like, Jin's all bloody and shit, and I'm like, I'm gonna take a picture of this because he looks dope. Or I'm now going into the pictures. I have a photo album on my PlayStation.
Hell yeah.
Or it's the landscape, but I wanted to capture the scale. Mm. So what I would do is, like, I would put, like, Jin on a cliff, and it's just overlooking this beautiful sunset, or like I think one of my favorite ones is, and look, I'm sorry, I get so excited talking about this game.
Yeah, I think the shrines really show them off when you're up at the top of the shrine, where you can just see as far as you can. Those photos are gorgeous.
Yeah, there's one photo right here where I'm just overlooking this village, and just the sky is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I need to take a picture of this, and it just shows the how vast. And the thing is, too, is like, this is a small island, grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
But it's, they did such a great world, make a great job at making this small island just such a big world, mm-hmm. you know?
For sure.
God, it's so good.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of where I give this game a little bit more credit, because spoiler alert, I'm not as high on this game as you are. But I think because of how beautiful this game is, it wanted me to keep going back and explore, get to that next area, like going in the snowy part at the end of Act 3, completely contrasts with like the middle where it's kind of like autumn and it's red leaves. The golden yellow leaf area is my favorite in this game. I just love the way that looks. So like, going back to see what the visuals have for me to keep me excited and enticed to keep playing is what got me through. And I think when it comes to the weakest part of this game, which is what we'll get into next, and it goes to when Brock McLaughlin came on the Trophy Room and we talked to him about it, the plot is I'm not like it felt like the plot could have lasted 3-4 hours, the major points, and it just got stretched too far and too thin to where the connecting stuff wasn't hitting. As far as like the golden path, the tales, which we'll get into next, I think are far superior, superior. But when it came to the main tale, it was like generic. I kind of knew the story beats. What did you think about the plot?
It's like they took a fucking canvas and they just like, I'm still looking at the landscapes.
Oh my God.
So, I think I'm there with you, and I think, honestly, I love having Brock on because he's such a no bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll just tell you his thought, and there is no editing. It's blunt, right?
Yeah.
And I agree with him to a very large extent of, like, this story is something we have seen over and over again, right? It's a revenge tale. Yeah. It is about, you know, it's kind of what The Last of Us is. It's like, how far would you go to get that revenge? What are you willing to lose? It's just told in a very samurai, you know, Kurosawa, mm-hmm. you know, cowboy spaghetti western take. And for me, I love that shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I like it. It is beat for beat. It is just like, we wanted to get that samurai feel down to the point of which we want to even where it comes down to media. Like, that's how strict we are when it comes to this. We're not trying to do anything different in terms of how we're telling the story. Like, we want to honor the Kurosawa, like, legacy of how to tell these stories. And for that, I give this game so much credit. Because, like, I've seen just, like, one or two Kurosawa movies in my day, you know, watching it with my dad. And, like, just, as my memory serves, it's like beat for beat. And when I'm taking a look at like the standoff moments, it's a spaghetti western.
Yeah.
And I think that's where my brain clicks, because that's how I spent time with my dad. Like, a little inside baseball for you guys, how my dad learned English was John Wayne movies.
Hell yeah.
He would just watch westerns, and that's why for a very long time my dad talked like John Wayne. So picture a very, very Spaniard man talk like John Wayne. It's hilarious.
I want to be in that room when he goes to school for like a parent teacher conference. Howdy, ma'am.
No, my dad's thing is so. So where are you? Huh? Real talk, sidetrack. You don't want to see my dad at a parent teacher conference. It only happened once. Because like I was being real talk. All right, we'll get back to ghosts in a sec. I was being bullied, and I didn't want to fight this kid. Mm-hmm. But like the principal wasn't doing anything, and my dad just turned to me while they're having a conversation with the principal. He's like, "Joe, just kick the shit out of this kid. This guy's not going to do anything.
Hell yes. He's like,
and then the principal, like, he horrified. He's like, you're going to teach your son to, like, is this what you want to teach him? That violence is the answer? He's like, you're not doing it. I think he's like, you're not doing fucking anything, so who cares? Kick his ass. He's going to learn. What, you're going to give him a suspension? Good for him. He stood up for himself. And I'm like,
oh, yeah, right? Damn, that's awesome. My
dad. So anyway, getting back to cowboy movies and not to my childhood. Like, for the story itself, it hit what it needed to hit. It is not going to be The Last of Us where it's trying to constantly divert your expectations.
Sure.
And so this one is, and I think this was a perfect game to come after The Last of Us. Because to me, it is kind of like the comfort food of story.
Sure.
My question to you, though, how did you like Jin? Because Brock was just like, eh, Jin's Jin. He can replace him with any other guy and he's there. You know? Did you feel the same or did you have a connection for him?
No, I 100% enjoyed Jin a lot. I did. I do think he is a strong character. Especially as the game moves on, and we're not going to get like too into the plot, because again, behind the scenes type thing, we want to make this feel more organic and not just retelling the story all over again.
Yeah.
So, but like when it comes to Jin, I loved how he was slowly realizing that the way he's been groomed and the honor of being a samurai is not going to get things done. And he was tired of standing by and using these old school tactics and seeing the people that he loves so much continuing to be ruined by the Mongol invasion. So he becomes the ghost, right? And he learns from Yuna, who's the one that saved him. And Yuna's the thief and starts using thieving ways of stealthing and poisoning them. Like the blowgun is, the blowgun is like my favorite thing. It's just like,
oh really?
Either shooting them with a poison dart or shooting them that make them just go into a rage and just fight anything around them. I love those moments. But like seeing him slowly realize like he's got to do what he's got to do for his people. Honor, I don't care. Like it doesn't matter. I want to save these people. And having not only Jin go on this journey, but the people of Tsushima understand that and agree with him, and they're like to the point at the end where your uncle Lord Shimura is full on against you and exiles you, and when you go back the villagers are like, oh, what up, ghost? Yeah, go ahead. It's just like, yeah, go, we're on your side, we got your back. And like, heck yes, that's what I loved about this the most is the people that inhabited the world were on my side, and it felt like they knew what was going on throughout the whole game.
And I think you get out of Jin what you put in. So like if you just Golden Path, I'm just like, yeah, Jin is a sack of bricks personality wise but if you do all the side missions, you open up not just all these other excellent characters, but also you kind of unlock the Jin you're creating. And the one really cool thing too, and it goes into how much you put in, is when you go walk into the hot springs, and you see Jin's tight ass, like I mean like a honking thing, but like when he's reflecting on things, that's where you're carving out who Jin is, and like so like when
and
you,
how
when
you answer have the your to companions choose. Too, you have two options to. How you're going to answer questions or just let it run out and not say anything.
And then even the haikus.
Yeah.
Like when you're making, like you're sitting down and also it's beautiful. So you don't mind when it just, the game kind of stops for a second. You're like, okay. So like, it's like reflect on death and you there's something super negative, something kind of positive, something very positive. And you're kind of carving in what it's kind of what Jin is and what you are. And that's what I really liked out of Jin. I thought he was an excellent protagonist. And I, you know, we'll talk about the end later, but I don't know if they choose to go with him next or they do something completely different.
Yeah.
But I really, really like Jin. And whether they take whatever route they want to take, I'm totally down on that.
Yeah. And before, I want to mention this now before I forget it. It's not a major thing, but at the end, after the credits roll, you show up in Jin's house with all the things and the banners and all the weapons he used and mementos of his friends that he made along the way. And right in front of him is a table. And I thought this was so freaking cool. Is you look down and it's origami of all the major PlayStation exclusives from the PS4 era. I'm like, heck yes. They're the ones that that started this this generation. I mean, after Killzone and Knack, but that doesn't need to be memorialized. And then it ends with them with Ghosts, and they have mementos like the Shadow of Colossus. You got Deacon St. John's Kratos's bike from Days Gone, the Leviathan Axe. You got the Dreams Media the Media Molecule thing with the Joker's persona glasses on them. Like, it's so well done. A Tall Neck from Horizon. Like, it is beautiful. The Kojima logo. Like, I love that as like a little send off to PlayStation. Like, hey, generation's over. Look what we did. Look what we did.
Yeah.
Like, that was awesome.
And in it's, and I think you hit the nail on the head there. So I won't go too much, but like, yeah, the little knickknacks, mementos. Kind of a shame we didn't have any Bloodborne knickknacks, if I'm not mistaken.
I was trying to see if there was any.
Yeah, that's a missed opportunity.
There was like a square one that looked like a Tetris piece, but I don't know which game that reflected.
Could have just gave me a saw cleaver, dude. That's all I need.
Yeah.
That's one of the coolest weapons in a video game. True. Yeah. God, it's so cool. But yeah, I love that as well.
Yeah, but going into the side quests, the tales, Nagachaka wrote in, Ghost of Tsushima's side quests were incredible with deep and engaging stories. Which one was your favorite? Sensei Ishikawa's, Lady Misako's, Kenji's, Norio's, Yuna's, or Yuriko's? Nagachaka loved them all, but Lady Misako's was his favorite. So Joe, out of those, what was your favorite?
Okay. Here's the thing.
It's tough because these are all fantastic.
They're all really good.
Yeah.
They do, you know, you could get tired of them. I got a little tired of Masako's because it's the same, like, track down footprints. Find the people. Fuck them up.
Yeah. The way the missions as a whole on this one are very repetitive. Like, you are doing the same thing over and over again. But I think for these specifically, what they're wrapped around, like the outside, the story behind them, are really special.
Yeah. For me, I liked Sensei Ishikawa's because I liked the rivalry between him and Tomoe.
Yeah.
I loved that. And I loved the end of that where she still kind of fucks you over, but like she's more complicated than just a bad guy.
Yeah.
Right? But I would have to say, yeah, Lady Masako's is great because it is that Jin sees how if he just went full on vengeance. And actually, this is why I like a lot of them. Because a lot of them, they're just like, let's just go full on vengeance.
Yeah.
Masako's is more devastating, though. Because eventually, for the most part, most of them turn away from the pure vengeance side. Because by Act 3, things kind of don't work out well for a lot of them.
Tell that to Norio.
Lady Masako.
Tell that to Norio. Norio's end of his tale is nuts.
Okay. I'm going to be honest with Norio, though. I gave up on Norio. I thought he was boring. So I was just like, I'm doing your missions.
Yeah, I enjoyed Norio. Again, I like big guys represented in games being badass.
Yeah, that's right. That's us.
But he is a monk who's supposed to be like, you know, peaceful. He fights for what he believes in. And then he becomes like too fanboy. And he's like, man, I love the ghost, what the ghost is doing. And then he just burns a whole village. It doesn't matter who it is. Just out for vengeance because he thought they killed his brother in the pit. And everyone in the pit, the monks. And then he just burns it all. Like, he just forgets that he's a monk. Like, I thought that was such a weird turn for him. And I was digging it up until that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just like, well, yeah, because you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. I don't like it. But yeah, Masako's, because like when, dude, like she gets nothing out of her vengeance. Mm-hmm. She goes all on this tale. She kills all these people that are actually close to her. You find out that Masako's bisexual. That's fucking rad as shit.
There was a lot of that going on in this game, which I appreciate.
Yeah, man. Like, and it's not like throwaway. It's and like how they approach it. She like, you know, Jin goes to her, is like, so she called you like her lover, and she's like, she says something a little like, she plays around with the wording a lot. She's mm-hmm. like, I think she's like, I had many loves in my life. She was one of them.
My husband and like Jin's and just like her. I think it was May.
Yeah.
May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like Jin's like, okay, cool. Yeah. You do you, homie. Whatever. Yeah. We're on this path. Okay. I don't care. So that's really cool. But yeah, all the way to like her sister.
Yeah.
And you're just like, when you get to that point and it's just so bitter and both of them fucking hate each other mm-hmm. for totally two different, but like kind of valid reasons. Like, yeah. Fuck.
A lot of this, including Masako and including Sensei Ishikawa, it just like, I was screaming at the TV, just communicate with each other. All this yeah. could have been avoided if you just talked to each other. That's just a yeah. life lesson, just in real life, too. Just talk to people. Let your feelings
just
out.
Just talk.
Let it all out.
Yeah. And so, like, I love them, but what about you?
I think favorite? Out of this list, I think Kenji's is probably the weakest. Just some fool sake deliverer who is funny, and he's just like, no, I'm doing a good thing, really. And then you're in the middle of the mission, you realize ulterior motives are happening.
Yep.
My favorite is easily because I did not see it coming, and I texted you about it, and I was like, I was not expecting to cry during Ghost, and that is Yuriko's. Such a well done mini tale. It's only like three missions, I think, of the tale.
Yeah.
And Yuriko was like your caretaker when you were younger, and she's the one that gives you the poison darts and the plants to do it. But as you're doing the missions, she is slowly falling into dementia. And like in mission two, she keeps calling you your father's name. I think Mazukawa.
Yeah,
it's something along those lines, and she just kind of like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize, I didn't know what I was doing, to the point of how the last mission of her tale ends in her completely thinking that Jin is his father and talking to him like, oh, I loved how you taught me how to ride a horse. There's obviously some love connection there, I thought, the way she was talking to Jin, thinking that Jin was his dad, to the point at
okay
the
real talk at that point I was, because like when she's talking to him like that, I'm like, she gonna try to like
I didn't think that far.
I have just a dirty mind because I'd be like, all right.
But then that whole tale ends with them sitting over a cliff, and she's just like, tell me what you see, because she's not with it anymore. Yeah. Like her eyesight's not with it. And as Jin is telling her these serene things that he sees as his father, like fully on understanding what's going on, and just by the end of it, like Yuriko just passes. She dies while he's explaining all this stuff to her. And that just, it broke me. Because that's like one of my biggest fears, is forgetting my loved ones. And so yeah. I was like, oh my God. What? Wow. It hit me yeah. like a ton of bricks because it was out of left field. So Yuriko's yeah. is easily my favorite, followed by Masako, Ishikawa, and Yuna's. I think are tied. Yuna's is also mm-hmm. a short one, but it's still pretty cool.
Yeah, I like Yuriko's a lot. Yuriko's is right up there with me, because like she, I mean, to me it was like obvious. Like she's your adopted mother.
Mm-hmm.
Like. She never took on, she took on the responsibilities of being your mom without remarrying Masako. Oh, sorry.
I'm going to look it up.
Jin's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm fucking it up. But like, and you know that these two were in love. They did love each other and they loved Jin and they did have this connection. And so like a part of you could be like deep down, like, oh, wait, was she also a mistress? But to me, I read it as like, oh, no, no, no. This was, you know, she found love through Jin's dad. Kazumasa. And Kazumasa felt the same. And like that, he was able to love again. And she was able to be the mother that really Jin never had.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of also laying out that other goodbye. And so that one, chef's kiss. That was a hard hitting one.
Yeah, for sure. But when you're not doing Tails, you know what? Let's get this out of the way too. Actually, no, I'll save it for the next bullet point. My apologies. Okay. Besides the Tails, right? The other main thing you are is investigating these question marks that are littered over this island. You unclear the fog of war, which I think they did really well in this. It's like when you defeat a Mongol outpost, the fog clears a huge amount. Or if you're wearing the traveler's gear, it kind of clears it out more than what it usually does. And the question marks just pop over, and they can either be fox dens, they could be pillars of power, I think that they're called.
I believe so.
Bamboo strikes, shrines that you have to climb. That's more of like the parkour. The most infamous that this game ever gets is the traversal up there, which it's not that great. Little wonky. I fell a lot. And then there was another one.
Fox shrines.
There's duels, right?
Fucking duels, man.
Which are I think top tier in this game for sure.
I wish there was a way. As of recording this right now, there's not a new game plus mode, but I would love it where they're just like, okay, we're gonna wipe the slate clean here. Go revisit all the battles. Like if you walk towards a battle or a duel, rather, it'd be like replay duel. I'd be like, fuck yes, let's go, bro.
Or even fuck up a Ronin. Even the ability to like duel other Jins. Like me and you can go do a duel online.
Dude, I'd fuck you up. No,
I'm sure you would. I'm sure you would.
It's like that's where the gameplay turns as well. It's just like it turns a little bit Souls-ish.
Yeah.
Where it's more intimate, it's locked on. So like, yeah.
I enjoyed all of them. Especially like the Straw Hat, the Ronins who are just waiting for you out in the world. You're like, all right, come on, Jin. Let's go. I've been waiting here all day. Just waiting for you. But my favorite one is one of the mythic tales that the musician tells you. Mm-hmm. And it's just like it is a thing that I wish this game did more, is like the supernatural, like the you're in the darkness and the whole circle is surrounded by like leaves or bats or something like that, and you're fighting this what you think is like a specter, a ghost or something. Like that is my favorite one, because that is as crazy as this game gets, and I wish it went a little bit more that way to like the craziness.
I liked the way they went with it, because Jin is like an unabashed atheist at this point. Yeah. He's just like, there's no fucking like evil spirit. That's how I would be. Like there's like the one quest where you walk up to the guy, he's like, there's a spooky ghost in this forest. He's like, there's no spooky ghosts, fucking bandits. And then like it kind of gives you a taste of like, oh wait, maybe there could be spooky ghosts. And then you're like, oh wait, no, it's just bandits. Jin's right. You know, I actually like, because it builds the universe of like these people making things bigger than they are and making folktales out of it. Like one person, when you're doing a quest, they're like, oh wait, you're not 40 feet tall.
Yeah. You're not 10 feet tall. Like, your eyes aren't glowing. You're not the ghost.
You're not the ghost. That's what I've been told. And so like, that's what I like about it. But I also do think that is one of my favorite duels.
Yeah.
But my favorite duel is with, Rizzo, right? Is it Rizzo?
Yeah.
The one where like you kill him because you're just like, he's like, please. You're like, I love that part of the main story. If I could go back there for just a sec. Because Kotal Kahn is such a fucking piece of shit that, like, he kicks your ass, even though, like, you get up there throughout the story. They do a great job of, like, hitting you down, you know, doing the princesses in another castle by, like, doing something shitty to you. And Rizzo is that guy when he betrays you the first time. And then when it's the end of the line and Rizzo knows he's, like, well, I'm dead if you fight me. And you're like, well, you're dead.
Yeah.
And
he tries to weasel his way out of it. He's like, listen, we could both take out the Mongols. And that is also, I think, the turning point where I really love Jin. Because Jin's like, no, I'm not going to forget what you did. You went against your people. Like, I'm not having that. You're done. And then, And also, that betrayal at the beginning is what the story kind of clicked for me. as well.
Yeah.
Because it was, I wasn't feeling it up until that point. I was like, okay, now I have a reason to keep going and keep seeing it because I want to see this guy dead, as well as Khotan Khan, who is a fantastic villain.
God, so good.
Which we'll get into right now. Let's get into the characters. We've already kind of talked about Jin and the members of like the Tales, like your buddies. But I do want to shout out the villain, Khotan Khan, because I think he's one of the best villains in a game. I think just presence wise, like he is a badass when you fight him. He has multiple different styles at the end. Also, he has this badass line, which I'm going to read right now. I think it's one of the first ones. While you were sharpening your sword, do you want to know how I was prepared for today? I learned. I know your language, your traditions, your beliefs, which village to tame and which to burn. What a badass line. It shows you that this is not a generic ass villain. He's trying to learn and he's smart. He's using his brain.
And that's the thing as well. What I really like about this is that's how Khans did it. Mm-hmm. Like how the Mongrels were so successful was because they learned and they understood what they had and their strengths and their weaknesses until Tsushima happens.
Yeah.
And so like understanding the conflict at hand here, like the Mongrels are invading Japan to cripple China. That's why they're doing it, because Japan is trading with China. Mongrel wants to invade China, and this is the easiest way they can go about doing it. And real talk, they get fucked up. The Great Tsunami happens. That's when Japan literally gets a god complex. They think at that point, because of that one event, that they would never be an invader that would hit on Japan soil. And World War II then happens. Mm-hmm. So like that approach to how the Khans thinking, that line goes to how the Mongrels thought. And that's what I really loved, like, as the history buff. I was like, oh fuck, this is, that line did it for me too.
Yeah. Yeah. And as a history person yourself, a historian, how accurate in your eyes did they capture what this era in Japan? Because from what I've heard from others, they did a real great job. I think there was one Japanese developer who was like, this team from Seattle did Japan better than teams in Japan did. Like, as far as like the landscape and capturing the essence of Japan. So as a history point of view, did they nail it?
I'm not the biggest into like Eastern stuff, but from what I understand, they hit it. The whole essence of what this game is, they also hit, because a lot of people like don't know the invasion, the Mongol invasion goes awful twice and cripples the Mongolian economy. And that's when their empire starts to shrink. So the first invasion, they capture Tsushima, and what, you know, there's a devastating battle, samurai's lost, and the survivors went into the mountains, and they would do guerrilla-style tactics to cripple the Mongol army. Mm. So, to an extent, it is right that way. Okay. In essence of, like, you're approaching, like, you're doing guerrilla-style tactics, you know, tackling a fort by yourself. The where they get wrong is that, no, like, the samurai did have to adapt. They did not... They weren't too honorable in the ways of getting these invaders out of their lands. But, like, the essence of ghosts is reflected in the history of the conflict.
The next character I want to get into before I think the other big name in this game is your horse. Something I did not see coming. You get a choice to name your horse. I named mine Nobu.
Same.
Okay.
Same.
All right, good.
Pick the DLC horse, because DLC...
I didn't, actually. I like the base horses look like.
I fucking should have known the horse dies once you name it.
When you name the horse, you're like, are you sure? Because it's going to be the name and the horse for the entire game. So, like, make sure you stick with it, and you're happy with the choice. I'm like, sure, whatever, that's fine. And then whenever you call your horse, you're like, good boy, Nobu. And, like, he's constantly saying Nobu and constantly showing praise. And after a battle, when you're, like, laying and sleeping on Nobu, and, like, you can clearly see there is a bond there.
And the, like, I just want to find someone in my life that talks to me the way Jin talks to his horse.
Right?
He's like, I love you, Nobu. After this conflict, I'm going to take you on a peaceful ride. I'm like, take him on a peaceful ride.
Yeah, right?
Pat him on the head. Feed him a note. Yeah, man. Like, that bond. And, you know, I was listening to, because after I was done playing, I was like, I need to, creative director, come over here.
Oh, yeah.
All the interviews. And they're just like, yeah, no, we knew early on because, like, that was the sole thing that the player was going to be attached to. And as, like, the samurai cowboy-esque thing we're going for, the thing you have to kill is the horse.
Yeah.
Oh. And it worked.
It definitely did. It was a 1-2 punch because previous to that is you and his brother Taka getting beheaded right in front of you, which is another very powerful scene. And so you got the loss from there. I felt that one too. That one sucked. And then very shortly afterwards, Nobu gets blown up. Or no, he gets shot by arrows as you're fleeing. And then you just slowly see him kind of slow down and then lay down, and Jin's like, you did your best, you're a good boy, basically. And just screen goes to black, and then next thing you know, the subtitle Loyal Friend's Grave pops up, and like, oh my god, sucker punch. I didn't want this. And then after a minute or two of letting that soak in, I was like, wait a second, I can't call a horse. I'm gonna have to run around for how long? Which I didn't mind, because I've ran around a lot, but like...
But like, next mission, they give you a horse, and it's a bullshit horse.
Yeah, a one with no name. It's just like a random horse. Like, I don't... You're not Nobu.
But like, I felt... Yeah, you're not Nobu, dude. You're not a good boy. Get the fuck out of here, right?
You don't have
that mongrel horse on
that special saddle that I did for collecting banners and bringing them in. But then eventually, Yuna gets you another horse, and you can pick a new name.
What did you pick?
I went with the white horse, and I went with Kage, which meant shadow.
Holy shit.
You did too?
We were on the same...
Hell yeah, man.
I regret... No, well, here's the thing. I picked Kage.
Yeah.
I didn't pick the white horse. I picked black. Because, like, okay, shadow.
Sure.
But, I mean, we're going to talk about this later. One of my favorite suits has a white dye to it.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, I should have picked white because it would have matched.
No, I gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Which kind of makes me think maybe, you know, should have given me an option to kind of like go back and change the horse fur. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But like, yeah, Kage, black horse, black on black, everything.
Kind of goes with the theme of you're now the ghost and you're supposed to stick with the shadows. And that's kind of why I picked that name.
Same.
What Nobu is what? Hope?
Trust.
Yeah. Which, wow.
They fucking killed Trust.
It just mirrors where Jin is at the beginning of the story to where he's at the end with the names we picked. The last big major character, which we haven't really touched on, is Lord Shimura himself. Jin's uncle, who wants to raise you to be the best warrior in all of Tsushima and wants you to take over the helm. You are the last samurai left after the battle at Komoda Beach, and you trust him, your uncle, and then he finds out you're doing dirty, shady ghost stuff, and he's like, that's not the samurai way, and he gets real pissed off about it. He's like, I'm gonna go tell the shogun, and when the shogun get here, you're in trouble. Denounce it, become my son. And then everything will be hunkadori, right? Everything's gonna
be fine. Thing is, I think the shogun gets word of Jin's actions. I don't think it's through his uncle. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm pretty sure he's the one that told them.
Hmm.
Or maybe a mix of both. But like
he confirms it.
Yeah, I think he definitely talked with them about it because he had that paper written up. Like, they'll forgive you if you become my son and blah blah blah.
That, fuck, man. That storyline is so good.
I like how it ended, too. The ending is...
Fuck. Really? It reminds you it's a Sucker Punch game at the end. The relationship is... He is your dad. Like, your dad died, but, like, your uncle takes you in, but, like, that's... It's love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no doubt about it. Like, if he could have called you a son beforehand, he would have. And so, like, he's seeing you go down this path, and... He's afraid of what it could do to you. And you're kind of afraid as well, but you're more selfless in the thing is like, I got to do what I got to do.
Yeah.
Shimra is, he's stuck in his ways, but his ways aren't particularly the worst in the world. But you also find out like throughout the story, like, you know, there is this rebellion that because Shimura puts them down, or mm-hmm. Shimura rather, he becomes the pretty much the ruler of Tsushima.
The Yarakawa, I think.
Yeah, the Yarakawa. And I'm sorry, we're butchering all these names so bad.
I'm sorry, guys. I knew this was going to happen the moment this game came out. It's like, oh, no.
Any Japanese viewer watching and, you know, you're just like rolling your eyes. Dude, we're so sorry. we're trying our best. Mm-hmm. So you see that there's different dimensions of Shimura, but like up until the very end, you two love each other. Even he kills your horse because you totally betrayed him and whatnot, or how he sees it. It's like you still love him.
Yeah.
You still don't want him to hurt.
Yeah.
You still want to help him because you know that you both want the same things. They're just going about it totally different.
Yeah, and Lord Shimura obviously feels the same way towards Jin because towards the end, Jin has to sneak back and leave him a note, be like, hey, listen, we found the Khan. Here's our plan. Would love for you to come and help us out in this, right? Not the way like Jin put it, right? Yo, bro.
It's pretty much like a text late at night.
Yep. WID, what are you doing?
You up? Question mark? Winky face. What?
We have a con booty call to get to. But yeah, then when that last mission really starts, when you're going up against the con, he doesn't show up at the beginning, and then halfway through, he busts through, and then Jin has a huge smile on his face. All right, that was after being exiled by Shimura, and he's just like, all right, there's hope left for this relationship to continue. And then after you take the con out, Yuna's like, hey, here's he wants you to meet where the red leaves fall, I think, mm-hmm. by the lake. Basically, like, your family cemetery. This is where your entire family lays to rest, and he's just basically like, I love you, but in order for this to continue, one of us has to be gone.
And it's so, like, right before that, can we just talk about the fight, though, real fast?
Oh, well,
you and Kotal Kahn?
Oh, absolutely. Cool. Absolutely.
Fucking great fight scene because mm-hmm. Kotal is a fucking bitch. he's throwing his men at you. He's trying every shit. He fucking gladiators you and he fucking stabs you with something icky. And I'm like, oh no, you poisoned me. I'm gonna totally go out like Gladiator and cry again like that movie did. The first movie that made me cry, by the way. And he was a Spaniard. It connected. And so, like, to me, so when that didn't happen, relief. But that when he's just like, you know, like you kind of find out Kotal was, he didn't want to do this. Like, he was trying to just show you terror so that he didn't have to do all the shitty things that he had to do. Like, he just wanted to spook everybody enough that they would be into submission. And he's just like, that's what I tried to do. And totally fucking backfired on his mm-hmm. part. But like, when you cut his fucking head off, like a fucking ball, I felt relief. Cause here's this son of a bitch, kicked me off a fucking bridge, killed all my friends, fucking killed Taka right in front of me, chopped him up, mm-hmm. Julian style. And it's like, oh God, I felt relief, Kyle.
Yeah.
I saw some people had trouble with that boss fight. I did not die. I was fueled by rage.
Well,
and it was such a good fight.
We'll get into combat, which is the next thing we'll get into. But Ghost Dance helped out a lot during that fight for me, 100%.
Right.
But going back to the Shimura fight, I loved how beforehand you both, Jin and Lord Shimura, both go to the side and they kneel and respect and they write their final words on Clan Sakai. And then they just take out their katanas, and it's showtime. And Lord Shimura has all the tricks in the book.
Oh, really? He almost killed you?
Yeah, almost. I had a real hard time with the red flash for dodge. Like, I felt like it was too quick for me to my brain to pick it up and respond. So he whipped my butt a decent amount. But, like, the setting of that duel in that area with the red leaves and your family's graves surrounding you is weirdly beautiful and poetic in a weird way.
Yeah,
it was a great fight.
Because it kind of it ends where it kind of starts with Absolutely. Your relationship. It starts in the redwood, it ends in the redwood. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing about that fight is, like, leading up to it, Jin knows. And I'm like, I was like, homie, dude, there's a guy in a fucking shrub somewhere. He's got a fucking sniper rifle. He's gonna, he's gonna JFK. You need to get out of there. And the line of, like, when Jin, he lets the audience know, lets Shimura know, he's just like, so you're just gonna kill me? And he's like, Shogun told me I have to, if I am to retain my house. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, he gives you this option. It's like, you know, you either let him kill you out of love, I don't know, mm-hmm. or you fight him and you give him the warrior's death he wanted. I didn't go, and I assume you didn't, like a bitch. I made it this far. I ain't dying today. So I took my uncle out. Oh. And I pretended it was my Uncle Rich because I hate that motherfucker.
Oh, wait.
And I beat the shit out of him.
Okay, so at the end, it gives you the option to honor his warrior ways and kill him or let him live.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah. And you killed him?
Yeah.
I did not. I let him live.
Really?
I did because I want him to realize, as he keeps living, like, your way is not the only way. There are other ways we can both still coexist because I still had love for him as an uncle. I could never do that. And I don't think my Jin could ever do that.
Nah, the Emperor whispered in my ears, do it. Okay, should I? Do it. So, like, I just straight up. It's because the way I saw it was, it wasn't out of hate, right? It's because I'm like, okay, consequence, if I don't kill him, what happens after this game? Shogun is disappointed with it, so it's off with his head anyway. He loses everything. He dies without honor. So he's going to die anyway. It's going to be honorless. He's going to lose everything. He's already lost me. So I'm going to cut this short. I'm going to give him the warrior's death because I love him. Mm. And when I, that was the way I rationalized it.
Okay.
And when I heard, his name's Fox, his last name, he was on the kind of funny spoiler cast. Nate Fox.
Yeah.
When he explained it the same exact way, he's like, actually, no, if you love him, you kill him. I'm like, and he goes through my same exact reasonings. I'm like, oh shit. Sucker Punch, call me up. I could write this thing with. I got a notebook somewhere. So yeah, like, to me, I was just like, you have to kill him.
Interesting.
It was even a question.
Interesting. So let's get into we spoke about duels a little bit, mm-hmm. and that little red flashing for dodge. Let's get into the combat. Obviously, I think you loved it way more than I did because you're a Souls boy. What could they do better in their combat?
Camera is still weird.
Yeah, camera sucked in a lot of places.
Camera. So, camera is great if it's an open setting, right?
Yes.
If you're in an open setting, if you're doing a standoff, chef's kiss. But if you're indoors, it just sucks ass. Mm-hmm. So,
or in a lot corner. I was in a corner of a Mongol settlement and just surrounded by Mongols, and I could not see anything.
So I think the way about it would have been, and I think this will be for next game, is definitely accessibility options. Maybe making a sticky camera to you that mm-hmm. follows you or tracks mm-hmm. you better or faster or slower, or keep the camera the way it is. But something needs to be done for when you're fighting indoors. Maybe, I don't know, I'm not a developer. I don't know how games work. But like when you're indoors, you kind of take the roof out of it, like elements that could get in your way.
Got it.
So that you just see Jin and the people. So maybe like things above you. So let's just say there's an attic above you where you're fighting. It's kind of hollowed out so you can see everyone better. Mm-hmm. Instead of having those red lines in the corner.
Yeah.
Get really confusing. Camera is not great. I will fully admit that. But it was the first time, Kyle, where I was just like, holy shit, this reminds me of Arkham. Yeah. And I'm actually good at it.
Okay.
So I was just like, I'm in. Yeah. This is the best Batman game ever. Because I can actually do work in it.
Yeah, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's still a lot of fun. Like, hitting that perfect parry and have it slow down and just slicing people up is one of the most fun things I've done all year in a video game. Yeah. There's just some things I wish were a little snappier. Like, changing stances. Like, I would have R2 down and then hit a button to change the stance, and it wouldn't register that R2 was down, so I would just be, like, jumping in place. Or, like, rolling.
Yeah, sometimes that happens.
And that would kind of screw up where I was standing, and I'd roll into one of the big guys, and then I'd be done for. Mm. So, like, a little bit, it could have been a little bit snappier in switching up stances, since that is such a huge part of the combat.
I will say that the controls are busy.
Yes.
There's a lot, and maybe a little bit too many options.
Yeah.
There's actually too many gadgets and gizmos, mm-hmm. where if you just gave me, like, I'll be real with you, I don't think you needed a longbow.
Sure.
I actually think the longbow's fucking useless, and I'll even say it, fucking garbage, unless you're using the explosive shot, just sucks ass.
Which, by the way, some of these big heavy dudes will take 4 explosive arrows and still not die, so it's not really
even worth it. It just exploded. Yeah, it's like a useless fucking,
Let's we're on the subject anyway. Most of the gadgets didn't use really at all.
So
I use sticky bombs. I use the kunai throwing knives.
Fuck all the time.
Smoke kunai's bombs sometimes so cool. at the end when I was getting overwhelmed. But other than that, like throwing black powder bombs, never did. Firecrackers, nope. Wind chimes, only when I needed to for a mission.
Wind chimes are useless. I only use them once or twice.
Even like setting your sword on fire. Like, I thought that would have been cool, but it doesn't cut through them any faster in my eyes. Mm-hmm. It's just like an added effect.
But dude, when you do it. Here's the thing though. When you do it, because there was one part, and I should have clipped, it's probably in a video somewhere. Mm-hmm. I approach these two dudes, and they think they're about to fucking get me, and this is when I'm full ghost, and I just fucking light the sword on fire, and one of them just goes,
That is really like, cool, when they get terrified of you.
Dude, fucking awesome as all hell.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, there's a little bit too many gadgets and gizmos, so what I would have done would have been stick with a half bow. And then just add 2 more effects to it, so that the heavy arrow, you didn't need, it's useless. Explosive shot, you would have tacked it onto the circle button. Mm-hmm. The throwables, black powder bomb. Throwables should have been kind of like a kunai, where like you could throw it on the ground. Yeah, quick fire, so you could throw it on the ground and start assassinating, rope-a-doping people.
Yeah.
That would have been better, I think, for throwables. Mm-hmm. And to make that a little, to get that out of the way. It would make it feel less heavy. Cause I feel like sometimes you're in combat and you kind of get confused, muscle memory wise, and you fuck up because of that. Yeah. And then keep the darts, cause they're fucking hilarious.
Yeah, for sure. I think, I don't know if this would work aesthetically, but like,
yeah.
Instead of just having the bow and the up, just have it the range options and have like circle and X be the blow dart and square triangle be flame arrows and regular arrows. So that way you have the full wheel and everything's connected. But yeah, there's just a lot of gadgets where, while cool, barely used them.
Or even, because I'm trying to now figure something out here.
Yeah.
Instead of maybe having it, so see, because then, again, this is weird. Because then, then you got kunais, you got... Yeah, see, oh god, there is too much, it's too busy.
Yeah.
So, to me, I think, because like I'm setting kunais, I have smoke bomb, instead of having the R2 button, or maybe R2 button could have been how you set your smoke bombs or your sticky bombs, or, you know, the way of the flame. and then L1 being the way you switch stances.
Yeah.
So that teaches you to be patient, to block more. Because I think that's what Jedi Fallen Order does so well, because it wants you to approach the game like a Jedi. And how are Jedis? They're patient like samurais. Mm-hmm. So if you're blocking and then you're giving yourself a moment to rest and to kind of think about it, to set what stance you want. I think that would have been a better way of approaching it.
Yeah, agreed. And speaking about combat, we have Ghosts, which is all kind of stealthiness, which I kind of dug at the end a whole lot more than I was expecting. And Samurai is straight up, I'm going to fight you out in the streets with honor. Stand off. Let's go. Let's do it. I like both, but towards the end of the game, when you get that Ghost armor, it just feels so good slinking around and just taking everyone out silently. So going off of Famous Seamus, who writes in his first question of this Road to Greatness, what did you like more, Samurai mode or Ghost mode?
So I'm going to be real with you. Two-thirds of this game got Samurai.
Yeah.
Like, let me fucking just go. Because the stealth, that's where my big issue is. All the AI are stupid fucking idiots. Mm-hmm.
They really are.
And so they're really easy to really just go through each and every one of them. It's typical, like, not bad stuff, but it's like typical stealth game. Like, where did Frank go?
Yeah.
Towards the end, the game gets complicated. And I feel like Ghost Stance is more encouraged, but towards the end of the game, I just went full on, I'm going Ghost mode, because of all the little knickknacks they give you. Once you're able to utilize all the things, Ghost Stance becomes brutal, and when you're scaring the mongrels, that's the thing that really gets my rocks off, is seeing them, like, when you're approaching them, like, oh, fuck, and, like, one will just straight up run away just to begin with. Or, like, you'll massacre an enemy and, like rip his head off,
slaughter,
his arm, whatever.
The assassinate would turn into slaughter.
And it's for the big brutes. And when other people see that, they just fucking run. Mm-hmm. It's fucking cool. So, like, towards the end, I was just like, why choose anything but the ghost?
Yeah, agreed. I think ghosts at the end is really, really fun. I think if the AI was a little bit better at picking people up, I think it would have been even better. Like, picking up Jin and not just being like, oh well, my acknowledgement meter went all the way back down, so it's fine. I didn't see anything. Or 20 feet away on the top of the cliff, no, there's nobody standing up there. It's fine. Ghost mode for sure was my favorite, but the first couple times doing a standoff, just pressing the up on the D-pad, I'd be like, all right, let's go. You and me, bring it right here. First one to make a move is done. Like, that was super, super cool.
And then when they make it later down on the road, where it's just like, yeah, more than one. Like, you could be like three or five, and you're just like seeing it happen. It doesn't look cool if you're just observing, but like when you're doing it, you feel cool. Like such a unstoppable badass. Standoffs are cool. Shit, dude.
Going off of Ghost Stance, at the end of the game you unlock the ghost armor. So my question to you, Joe, were you switching around with the armor and like the helmets and whatnot, or were you pretty much, you found the one you like and that's what you did? Because for me, that's kind of what I was. Sakai armor, once I got that, upgraded it fully. And then I was that up until I got the ghost armor, because I liked the way that looked, and I just kept that on. And with the ghost armor, that little standoff thing where you can hit, I think, up to 5 enemies, that goes back down to 3. So you can't do that in the ghost armor. But I think the ghost armor, it looks way better than the Sakai one.
Let me go through it. Another thing about me, the reason why I'm not a huge into Eastern history is because it's just not my aesthetic. Mm-hmm. So, like, I am way more into the Victorian setting. Blame my white-ass education system, but, like, that, I dug more. I've never really been into samurais or ninjas. It's never been my thing. That said, This game has totally changed that. The Sakai armor, fuck, it's so cool.
So cool.
I love when you're leveling up these pieces of armor. They get more badass as the more you level them up. And then the special die you're able to get to customize it. Mm. Awesome. So like I have the Lord of Night skin on the Sakai armor.
Shout out real quick to Nagachaka, who also wrote in. I missed this one. That's why I'm going to throw it in here. What was your favorite armor to wear? I love the black dyed traveler's attire, even though it didn't boost any combat stats, but it just looked too damn good. That black dye on the Sakai armor with like the purple tint.
Ooh. God, I love this game, yeah.
Oh boy, that was good.
So fucking cool. Yeah, to me, number one is Ghost Armor. Ghost Armor, Righteous Punishment, which is the white, which I love it. It's not robot white. It's not like, you know, I don't know.
I'm rocking stupid the red white that you get at the end.
Ghost Transcendent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I rock that one. The white Ghost Armor looks so fucking cool because you look like a spooky little ghost. Mm-hmm. Then Traveler's Attire as well. I liked a lot. I'm just trying to find one
with
more.
With the cape, oh my right? God, the capes are really cool in this one.
There's one way I didn't notice this till now. You're in your fucking diapers, dude. You're in underwear. It's called the Fundushi.
What? I don't think I have the that Fundoshi. One yet.
A true samurai needs no clothes. Jin Sakai after too much sake.
What?
Running and sprinting no longer cause noise, so it gives you a benefit. Huh. I also like how I pronounce it like it's an Italian dish. Fundushi. Yeah, but so to go back, Ghost Armor, Sakai Armor, the Gosaku's armor is so cool. That's the one I used probably the second or third most. Because it's the way I like it. It gives you massive health, gives you major stagger damage, killing staggered enemies, restore health. So it just rewards you for being upfront with them. And then right after that is the Ronin attire.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Ronin attire. It is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I like the Ghost for sure at one, Sakai two. My third favorite would be the Tadadori armor, which is the one for the long range, the bow.
Really?
I really like the way that one looks a lot.
Huh.
Then Travelers. I didn't really use any of the other ones. I do like the way Jin looks in the Khan armor that you get at the end. Also, really cool benefit if you, like, they'll be delayed in noticing you when you go to camps because you look like you're a Mongol in the Khan attire. It's a cool little status effect for that one. But like, yeah, I stayed in the one armor. I didn't really pay attention to the stat boost at all. I just kind of wore what I thought looked cool.
Yeah.
So if there was a little bit more of that, like the different hats have different, you know, like stat boost effects and stuff.
Like a million fucking headbands.
I would have probably mixed and matched a little bit more, but I just went straight for aesthetics.
Yeah.
Moving on to the side missions, we touched on it briefly. What was your favorite one, other than the duels? Because we talked about duels. I'll tell you which one that I got tired of real fast. And this is going to hurt a lot of people, including Famous Seamus. The Fox Dens got annoying very quickly for me.
What?
It's not because of the foxes. I love petting the foxes. I love the fact that you get to do that at the end. I just got so tired of, oh, there's a fox then, I'm going to stop. And then the fox leads me to where I just was. Like, it just, like, I got bored of just hopping off and then running off and then having to come back to where I was. It got boring really fast.
It only happened to me twice where I ran into the shrine first and then, and then I ran into the fox. I thought those were really uniquely placed. Because I was just like, oh, fuck. Like I would most of the time be like, oh, why did I not see this before? Mm-hmm. I love the fox. And then, like, because, like, all they want is a little pat.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that.
You pay them in pats.
Yeah.
You pat them on the head.
But the fact that there's, like, 59 of them, it's a lot. And I think the advantages to doing them quickly run out. Like, you, if you keep doing them, you get different charm slots, which is great.
59 opportunities to give cute foxes pats on the head.
Not all the time,
though. They're good boys.
It depends on where the location is, because sometimes they're not waiting for a pat. They just ghost you.
Because they're busy. They got some of them have little fox families.
On the other side, to kind of...
And that's even cuter, because you know they got business to take care of.
To kind of quell the hatred I can hear already in my earphones. That there's this one mission where the Mongols just straight up kill the foxes. Oh, I got real pissed. Like, you're not doing that to these adorable creatures. How dare you?
I thought you would have jumped in. Like, yeah, let's stop any of these things.
Like I said, I love petting the foxes. It just, the whole element of hopping off my horse and then following this fox, which some of the times would just stop working and would go in the other direction and lead me into a full little circle and then start. It got real frustrating, real boring very fast for me. Feel like there's too many of them. Sorry, Joe. Sorry, famous Seamus.
Who killed those foxes?
Who does ask how many foxes did you pet? I pet as many as they were allowed.
I gave him a little pet. Yep. I call him a good boy. I sometimes, because I love pets. You want to watch a man melt? I'll show you a picture. You show me a picture of a dog. I go, oh my gosh. And you give him little names. Well, you know, like my dog Marty, he's growing older, but I don't say he's growing old. I say he's growing wise. And because of that, he needed a regal nickname. So I named him Martibus Flartibus yesterday. And he's so cute and he's a good pop. And that's just how I talk when I see your little cute pops. But like, yeah, I pet all the foxes. I love the foxes.
Yeah. I think the other one I mentioned before, I wasn't a huge fan of were the shrines. I think for most of the time they work great. And I like the puzzle of finding out where to get up to.
I love the hook.
Reach the shrine. The hook is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just that I think some of the time the handholds aren't as visible as I would like them to be. And that me running around like, where can I jump up? I don't see this different colored hold, like visual cue of where to go. And it just was... It became more frustrating than I think it had to be. And I think when it came to the parkour stuff, very floaty. And like sometimes it just, I would clip right through the thing and grab hold of it at the end. It just didn't feel great all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. For me, I actually, I'm like opposite when it comes to fox dens. I loved, I actually really love the shrines, because when you're up there, that's when you're getting the best shots.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I love them. I think you're right. There's some visual cues that aren't as obvious. Maybe that is to try to like guide your eye to look at the vista and go, oh, that's beautiful. But like, yeah, sometimes it's just, it's aggravating. I get that.
Yeah.
But I think they do it good. Like,
oh yeah.
And dare I even say, like, it's not Uncharted level, but it could get there.
Sure. I think with a little bit of some tweaks here and there, I think you can get there for sure. I'm trying to think before we kind of wrap this up. Was there anything else that we missed? I didn't personally put this effect on, but did you check out the Kurosawa mode? How does it look?
Yes, for 30 seconds I turned it back off. I turned it off because it's just like, first off, beautiful.
Yeah.
Like even in black and white, but like I want it to be even more beautiful.
Yeah.
So the colors, like the saturation of the colors, it just works so fucking well. Like, why would you ruin it? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I felt. I love the rich colors. And so I wasn't even going to try it out. It
made me feel nice.
Yeah. So let's get into the questions here. Once again, thank you to Frame of Seamus and Nagachaka for asking these questions on Twitter and in the Discord. You can too.
Also, my bad.
What do you mean?
Because like we agreed, we're like because you let me know in at noon, Joe. Let's do this. I'm about to finish. I should have asked for questions earlier. So I want to thank everybody for doing that. It literal like an hour before we're going to record. So my bad.
Famous Seamus asks, what were your favorite missions? I think for me, the big Golden Path missions where you're going into these big bases, I think is what felt really, really fun. Just
I like those set pieces a lot.
Yeah.
for me, it is that anytime a musician tells you, Hey y'all, I got this kick-ass tune, listen to it. Those missions are the Epic Quest or whatever?
Mythic Tales.
Mythic Quest. Yeah, Mythic Tales. Most of them are really fun as fuck. Mm-hmm. So just go, the one that we were talking about earlier where, like, they try to be a demon.
Yeah.
Is really cool. And then, like, for side quest wise, I love the one where he's like, there's spooky ghosts in the forest. And they're like, no, there's no spooky ghosts in the forest, guy. You're like, no, you chuck it, chuck.
That one's great. The last tail I did to pop the tail trophy, which now all I have to do is just clean up the question marks and the platinum is mine.
Nice.
I kind of dug that one. It's with the... It dealt with the villager Sato, and he was like, oh, no, everything's fine. You're good. We're good here. And as you investigate the town, there's just blood everywhere, and somebody's drowned in a dye bin, and there's boxes with claw marks on the inside and blood everywhere, and you go up to this village where all the women are, and then you realize, oh, all those men that are dead, they're the ones that stood up for us to protect us. Everyone else there gave us up to the Mongols, and that's why we're slaves here. And then you go back, and you're like, everybody get out here right now.
I'm about to beat your ass.
How dare you? And Sato goes, I'm so sorry. Yeah. We did what we had to survive. And Jin's just like, kneel. And then you just straight up kill him. And you scream at everyone as they run away, don't you ever come back here again. You know what you did, pretty much. That one is pretty cool. I like that one a lot.
That you did cue me up for a negative of what I don't like about this game. Uh-huh. Fucking give me cues. Like, give me better clues.
Oh,
and
yes.
If I can't find something in less than 30 seconds, shoot me with a fucking hint.
Yes.
Holy shit. That's annoying.
The wind worked extremely well to tell you which direction the mission starts. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But when it comes to searching for clues in an area, even when you go into silent, like, listen mode, there is nothing to tell you.
Nothing.
If there's anything, like, any artifacts or anything. The only hint you get is if you have a traveler's attire on. No hints of where to look for clues. You're just kind of running around in a circle. And yeah, you're right. That is super frustrating. And
we did almost forget about the wind.
Yeah.
How it navigates you throughout the world. Like,
great.
This is the most clever mechanic, and it speaks to how good, I think we've talked about it. It's been on some shows as well. It's not an original take, but the wind mechanic shows how good Sucker Punch is at using the gimmicks of the DualShock to your benefit. So, like, swiping up on the touchpad and the wind guiding you to where it is, it's so smart because the wind, it's not like it puts you in the general direction. It's not as, like, overt. Like, it's obvious enough without being, like, overtly obvious, I guess. But it'll always get you to the pinpoint location. I think that's so smart.
Or within a certain radius, and then the icon will pop up as to, like, where you can go to start it off. Yeah.
And it helps with the minimalist style they're going with. And it's more games need that.
Absolutely. Real talk. Yeah. For sure. But yeah, that was it for missions. I can't think of anything, like, specific other than that last one I spoke about. To end our questions before we give it our trophy level grade. Nagachaka writes in, if or when there's a Ghost of Tsushima 2, where do you want the story to go? For me, I think I don't necessarily need a 2. Not that I didn't enjoy it. It's just, like, I'm good with where the story is at. If we do get a 2, I would 100% love Jin trying to teach all these new samurais taking over these houses, like, hey, be a little bit more loose in your beliefs and less rigid, which, me just saying rigid made me think of a mission thing, so I'll go back later. But yeah, I think him trying to once again show that samurais don't have to be this one way. There are different ways to tackle different situations.
While you were talking, I was playing the game.
Yeah, I can see it in the reflection of the pictures behind you.
Because I was playing with the the wind, because I'm trying to learn, like, I get the general gist of how the mechanic works, and then I got distracted, ADHD yeah. kicked in, and I took my bow out. I was like, you know what, I never got to try this. Let me shoot this guy who's just chopping wood. Now I lit him on fire. He won't do anything. This guy's a trooper. Give yeah. this guy employee of the month. Yeah. Sorry, continue.
Well, I was, what do you want from Ghosts 2, if there is a Ghost
2? What I want from Ghosts 2... So, gameplay-wise, I just want a refinement of the systems here. You don't even need to add anything else. Just a refinement. Like, again, what we were talking about before, fix some of the combat, maybe the camera issues, put in a new game plus mode. But I think what they have here is possibly out of, like, most PlayStation IP here, like first IP, a really strong foundation for a very strong sequel. Mm. Yeah, you know, where they want to take the story is truly up to them. They could do it like a Jin. They could follow it up with Jin, or what I was thinking about, because like they kind of put it in the path of like, you know, Jin was the tsunami. Mm-hmm. He was the storm, and the Shogun trying to kind of cover it up and try to give it some type of like more biblical nature. That's where they take the story out of reality. So they could make it so that like, it's like, you know, ghosts versus samurai type of deal. I would like them to go into the lane of, you know, make it 30, 40, whatever, how many, like, again, I'm not into the Japanese history. Mm-hmm. Whatever the time period is of like ninjas versus samurai, that's yeah. what I would want. Where like you are, you know, Jin's great, you know, Assassin's Creed, I don't give a shit.
Sure.
But like, you know, you are a character far removed after Jin's passing, and these ninjas are the ghosts, mm-hmm. and you're stuck between what Jin was. Do I do this honorable way of the samurai, or do I do the ghost? And do I become like ninja, you know?
Yeah.
Not ninja as in like, I'm going to go on Ellen's show, more like the real realm.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So yeah, to me, that would be cool. Or the part where I then like enter the room is, when when Japan wanted to westernize, I think it's like 1890, 1880, around there. But like the U.S. comes in. It's after Spanish-American War, because we took over the Philippines and murdered a whole bunch of people. You should read it up. It's history. We go over there to modernize them, and that's where you get The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise. But like, I would actually want it like authentic. That's what would be a great way of doing it, of like letting the old die, but possibly then playing with like gunpowder and like modern weaponry as well with the ghosts. That would be fucking cool as all hell.
That'd be cool. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So yeah, let's get into our rating of Ghosts of Tsushima. For the Road to Greatness, we rate them on trophy levels, if it's a bronze, a silver, a gold, or a platinum. So, Joe, where would you rank it among the trophies?
This is why I wanted to talk to you about this so bad. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not going to sit here and tell you this is the best PlayStation exclusive, right? It's no Bloodborne. We all know that. It's not better than God of War. No. I'm not saying that. It is right now. I loved The Last of Us Part 2, told a great story, loved where that story left us. Maybe you could blame it on COVID. This game was exactly what I needed right now. This game, I felt more connected to it. I was having a lot more fun with it than with Last of Us. And I love Last of Us. I think the game is fun. I get it. It's heavy, but it's fun. So like for me, this is my game of the year. Last of Us doesn't come close. But at the end of the day as well, when I say that, I also put Last of Us Last of Us Part 2 tied with like first, like the first Last of Us. Mm-hmm. So it's complicated, because I understand Last of Us Part 2 is a masterpiece, Whereas, like, Ghost of Tsushima, you could kind of be like, Last of Us is winning the Oscar, right? It's the best picture of the year. But God damn it, Ghost is that Marvel movie. It's Endgame. It's not winning any awards, but it's a fucking moment people are going to remember very fondly. So for me, that's the plat. When I rank it next to others, this is up there. And it's scary how up there this game is for me.
Oh, interesting. Like,
like, just freeballing it right now. It's God of War, it's a masterpiece, let's be real. Bloodborne, Spider-Man, Last of Us, Horizon, Ghost is like six. And like we just mentioned, fucking stellar games. So like, I mean, this man, just thinking about that, Ghost is six for me, and it's this generation's been so good to us.
It really has.
It's absolutely a platinum. It is one of my favorite games of this generation, hands down. And it is. And I'm done with the rant, and I promise. It is the perfect send off to what made PlayStation so dominant this generation. It shows the quality that they're able to achieve. This is an absolute plat. Go out, buy it for $60. I bought it for $180. It was fucking great. I love that mask. It's worth it.
Yeah, for sure. When it comes to me, I enjoyed my time with Ghost. While it didn't hit me full throttle the entire ride, I still had a great time. It is visually stunning. It is probably one of the best looking games I've ever played. The combat, when it was on and it was fantastic. But there were times with the camera that really messed me up. And the times when I would go to track this fox and it would bring me the wrong way. Or when I'm in the middle of a tail and I go see a collectible over there and I go to go grab it. And it says, oh, go back to the tail area. You're about to leave and we're going to basically like disqualify you. I think when it comes to that, Ghost is a little too rigid for me. Where it's like you have to talk to this person in this certain spot. You have to follow where we want you to follow, and whereas it is an open world and it's kind of like forces you to be small when you want to explore in the moments where you do, like exploring the houses to get all the supplies and stuff, and it's like, no, you went too far, you need to come back. So
I think that's perfect what you said. Yeah.
I don't, I'm not going to give it a platinum. It is a solid gold. It is
get
still
the fuck out of here, so
it's my show, damn it. It's it's a gold. You buy it for $60, 100%. I also got the collector's edition. I am not at all upset I got that. This game has to be played. It is a wonderful send off for the PS4 this generation. Yeah. Could not think of a better way to go out on such a beautiful game.
Yeah, I echo that. And I think that, you know what, you make very valid, like, you know, that's why I think Game of the Year conversation is going to be very interesting. Because, like, I will sit here and as much as I love this game, because we were talking about what our top five games are going to be and all that. Like, this game, yeah, it's in the mid-80s. I get there's some issues with camera and all that. But, man, there's just something about it, man. It's got its hooks in me. It's so charming. Like, even here, where I'm talking about this game, and I was only supposed to just for a minute, hop into photo mode, or like just to figure out how the wind system works. Again, I'm getting it, but then now I'm all of a sudden I'm just climbing this house because it's fun.
Yeah, right.
I'm supposed to be doing a show. What am I doing? So, yeah, I love this game. Like it has the same passion level for me. Like, I love Spider-Man. It's just in a class of its own. But it is in that passion level for me where Bloodborne is. Where, like, I sit here, I joke that Bloodborne Game of the Year, because it was stolen. Fucking stolen. But, like, I joke around this game of the generation because it just has that spot in there in my heart. That's where this game is. There's, like, this fondness of it. So, like, for a first attempt, let's say. Like, I love it.
Absolutely. Can't wait for Sucker Punch, whatever they do next. Whether it's Ghost 2... go back to Infamous, another brand new game. I don't care. I'm excited for what it will not only play and feel like, but if they can get everything out of the PS4 and with Ghosts visually, I can't wait to see what they do with PS5. It's going to blow, yeah, I think, all of our minds.
But it doesn't have as many teraflips and skips.
I don't care. congrats to Sucker Punch. You made one hell of a game. Thank you all for listening. Our next pit stop on the road to greatness is a surprising one. It's Fall Guys, which will be coming very soon. So look forward to that one. And that one's going to be fun. That one's going to be pure chaos when we talk about
Fall Guys. So we're recording that Inside Baseball. We're recording that after the Trophy Room tomorrow?
Correct. Yeah.
As of recording? So, okay, so this will be out on Friday. If you're listening, this has already came out.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Fall Guys will come out Monday. How about that? Sweet. It's a nice short. Give everybody, yeah. That's the reason why I didn't ask questions, because I was addicted to Fall Guys.
Yeah, so look forward to that. And then, of course, beyond Fall Guys, we have to talk about what we want to do as far as Road to Greatness. Maybe Avengers. Maybe Tony Hawk. Maybe, I mean, Cyberpunk for sure, whenever Cyberpunk comes out, and Miles Morales, of course, and Bugsnax, of course.
We'll stop you there. We'll stop you right there.
You know what? I'll do that Road to Greatness all by myself.
Yeah, you and Kelsey are going
to
do it.
Hell yeah. But yeah, there's plenty more pit stops on this Road to Greatness. Yeah. So until next time, buckle up and enjoy the ride.